swell. Cause I could tell that all we lacked was presence. And I would have felt, you could have helped. But here's to be denied. Neither of us knew what we wanted.
When I walked away,
I left footsteps in the mud so
you could follow me.
And when I walked away, I left footsteps in the mud so you could follow me. Yeah, so barely holding water, steps right through your fingers. We both end up drowning. It would hit the ground and then the path would wash away. Wash away. And I really wanna work this out cause I'm tired of fighting. And I really hope you still want me the way I want you. And it really feels like the ship and I'm not autopilot. And it's a bitch you wanna be the bitch I am and not the chick you want. Residual damage left in place of what was beautiful. Excuses only work but what we've done is still excusable. We let the truth unfold but still choose to be an honest. Neither of us knew what we wanted. But all we knew is that we cared. Still all we painted.
We back, you get it, episode 107. Feel this vibe right here.
I left footsteps in the mud so you could follow me. And when I walked away, I left footsteps in the mud so you could follow me. Yeah, so barely holding water, slips right through your fingers. We both end up drowning. It was in the ground and the path would wash away. Wash away.
Where music been at? We ain't heard from him in a while, it seemed like.
Was caught up in a blessing. Didn't realize how it wasn't fair to compare all the things I know that I've been through. As if you didn't have anything that you went through. I treated you like medicine. But I guess I wasn't listening. You tried to explain that you had hurt and pain too. But as long as I felt better then, it was all good, but we wasn't good. So convinced that things were understood. Meanwhile, I had baggage to unpack, and I just had to admit that. Still dealing with the battles, feeling so inadequate. And I know that I should have stayed, but at the time it felt like I had to quit. And I know that you're probably thinking just out here thinking about myself, but you're still playing in my head to this day, talking about
you could have helped, but still choose to be honest. Neither of us knew what we wanted, but all we knew is that we cared. Still all we knew was a moment. Steps in the mud so you can follow me. And when I walked away, I left the steps in the mud so you can follow me. Yeah, so barely holding water, slips right through your fingers. We both end up drowning. It would hit the ground and then the path would wash away. Wash away.
Kehlani make the best music out here. Like, she gotta be my favorite female R&B artist, I think, right now. And don't get me wrong, I like Tyler's Water Song, but Kehlani's Water Song is 10 times better than that. And I'm glad she just hit us with those snippets, because she got some new music on the way, some new heat on the way. I can't wait. But yeah, you got it, episode 107. I was definitely vibing to that jam just now. That's why I didn't really want to talk in the middle of the song. But I do have the question, though. Where is Music Soul Child? I feel like we ain't heard from him in a long time. He definitely used to have those jams, too. So some new Music Soul Child would definitely... I'm definitely here for it. if it come out, I'm definitely here for that new Kehlani whenever she drops. She just dropped that snippet the other day, but I'm definitely here for that. But yeah, you get it, episode 107. And that song, Footsteps, that says a lot, man, about some, like, if you in a situation and it goes left or right or whatever way you want to say it goes, and you walk away and that person don't come after you, then you kind of know what that means. You know, it really wasn't that serious to begin with. That's, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of times, people do walk away to see if the person will chase after them. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that that's like some type of game or something, but does it have a level of toxicness to it? Maybe. But at the same time, it does kind of show you where you are in somebody's life. So, yeah, man. But Footsteps, that's a classic jam, man. That's definitely a vibe. Sitting here watching Phoenix versus Denver right now. Phoenix up 42-31. We just had a Bobo sighting. And you know, Shaq got a lot of flack for saying Bobo and Wimby was the same player. But when Bobo and Wimby, you know, matched up the other day, they kind of had identical numbers. But, yeah, that's, yeah. So I'll keep you updated to this game to see what's going on. Bobo just kind of got ran by just now. He don't play no defense. That might be why he don't play a lot. But, yeah, we ain't starting with sports today, man. We got some other major matters that are going on right now. Starting with the tragedy that struck the city of Baltimore the other day when a shipping container lost power and hit the lower structure of a bridge, causing the bridge to collapse. Just a sad situation. There is video footage of the wreck, and you can see the lights go out on the boat prior to it hitting the pillar of the bridge. And it appears the container had just left the dock and did a U-turn going towards the bridge. I think it's Francis Scott Key Bridge. And there were reports of construction workers that were working on the bridge at the time. I do believe that two of them were rescued, and there were still six workers with unknown whereabouts. The recovery mission has been abandoned, and they are assuming that these people did not make it. They actually identified some of the people, stated that they were hardworking, humble family men. So we're definitely sending our condolences out to those lost. And it appears as if the boat, the container, shipping container boat, sent out a mayday prior to the power going out, stating that they knew something was imminent. And that stopped a lot of people from going on that bridge prior to the crash. So definitely glad that they kind of knew what was going on and kind of sensed that they didn't really have control of what was going on, because that mayday saved a lot of lives. Because when you see the wreckage of the bridge, clearly, I mean, it was clearly all the way, you know, it basically came all the way down. Like, it was really crazy. Like, when you see the video, and I'm sure unless you just kind of haven't been watching TV or anything like that, or haven't been on any type of social media, you see the carnage and how the bridge just came down immediately. Now, the amount of cars or other people on the bridge was currently unknown, but as of right now, it just seems to be that just six lives were lost. And you could kind of see other cars that were crossing the bridge prior to the bridge going down. And I know the people that were in those vehicles or in those trucks, I think it was an 18-wheeler at one time. Like, that's got to be like a scary, scary thought. To see yourself crossing that bridge before it goes down, that is definitely got to be what was that, Final Destination type of deal. But I do have a couple questions about this horrific incident. And I guess my first question is, why was the shipping container boat so close to the pillars of the bridge? Because when you see the bridge, there's a very large gap between, you know, pillars that allows, you know, boats to go underneath it. And I understand that the boat lost the power, and it lost the power, it seemed like it was when it was very close to, you know, the bridge. And I guess my question was, why was it so close? Because aren't you supposed to be crossing under the middle of the bridge so that there is no chance of you hitting anything? I mean, at least that seems like how it's supposed to be. And usually when I see like shipping container boasters, like a barge type thing in front of them, you know, at least that's usually what I see in my city. I'm not really sure. But one thing for sure, I'm just confused as to why it wasn't closer towards the middle of the bridge. That's the only thing. Other than that, this is just a horrific incident. You know, accident for sure. Electrical power went out. It did come back on right before it hit the pillar of the bridge, but at that point it was too late. Of course, the conspiracy theorists are out in full effect, talking about the name of the shipping container and how it relates to, you know, Barack's movie, Leave the World Behind. And I'm not really going to get into all that. But regardless, just a very tragic incident. And I mean, you know, we're sending thoughts and prayers out to everyone affected. And, you know, Biden came out and you know, spoke about rebuilding the bridge immediately, and the government will be paying for it. And, you know, you could tell, it's going to take a long time to rebuild that bridge because it's in water. Those are some of the hardest jobs to do. That's why those people that work on bridges underwater and in water, they are paid very, very well. But I don't anticipate this bridge being done anytime soon. It being, you know, in Baltimore by one of the ports, it definitely was a hub for a lot of things. So apparently this was one of the major ports that vehicles came and were, you know, shipped to. So that is, you know, what's going to happen with that. In regards to this just being one of the major ports, it's going to be a lot of, I don't want to use the word, but I'm going to say it, inflation. The price of a lot of goods are going to be going up because that is one less port that America has to use. So, you know, I don't know any other way how they're going to get there other than that bridge. So that's just a whole nother situation, really. And yeah, man, just completely just unfortunate, man. Just completely unfortunate. And I definitely just want to see how this is going to unfold in regards to fixing the bridge and what's this going to do to the economy. That's all. I mean, to me, those are all questions that need to be asked. Of course, not more important than, you know, the lives that were lost. Of course, the families of those people should be taken care of immediately. That's the first immediate issue that needs to be taken care of, is the family of those that were lost. But there are going to be significant ramifications to this bridge being hit by that shipping container. But yeah, I don't want to, you know, again, I don't want to say the episode out, but it's just an unfortunate situation, man. So let's kind of transition out of that. Again, sending condolences to everybody involved. So let's transition out of that. We're going to talk just a little bit about Diddy, because I know the last episode I reported that, you know, the situation that was going on with Diddy and he was nowhere to be found, But right, like literally, like right after I finished recording that episode, TMZ had a video of Diddy walking around outside of Miami. He was not on his jet, which people had assumed he was. It appears as if he had not been arrested. But they did see some items from the home. Probably and a lot of electrical items, probably cell phones, computers, etc. And apparently Diddy's alleged drug mule was also taken into custody as well. How they know that's Diddy's drug mule, I'll never know. But I'm just going to pump my brakes on the whole Diddy situation until all the facts come out. And he's not under arrest, so you know what I mean? I don't really know exactly what's going on. And I don't really want to continue to speak on it. I just want to send my thoughts and prayers to Diddy, man, because Diddy is the mogul that he is, man. Just seeing all this thing, all this go down is just really sad, man. Like, the fact that he can, you're not placing him under arrest, but you're handcuffing the kids is just confusing to me. And then the last thing I'm going to say is this. They ransacked his crib. I mean, when I mean ransacked, I'm talking about ransacked his crib. Stuff was all over the place. Who puts that stuff back together? Who cleans the crib after Homeland Security federal agents come in there and ransack it? Like, is that your responsibility? Who what happens after that? Because they left his crib really in shambles. the whole thing is just. Yeah, but I'm going to refrain from speaking until I see some sort of paperwork. I mean, I guess there is some paperwork floating around, but I haven't read it yet, so I will at some point. But Diddy's lawyer did come out and say that this was a frivolous witch hunt, I believe was the word he used. So I'm going to roll with them in the meantime, so what else do we got? Let's talk about Ron DeSantis. A rare W for Ron DeSantis, as he's going to ban anyone under 14 from owning social media accounts from January 2025, and will be deleting existing accounts. And I'm not mad at him at all for doing this. I'm actually here for this. Social media is a lot to handle, even for adults, let alone children. So for DeSantis to want to ban this for the youth, I'm not mad at it at all. You know, as far as like the stuff that's online right now, online bullying, just a lot of negativity, there's a lot of sexual content out there that's online. And I think if you're under the age of 14, you definitely don't need to be consuming that stuff. A lot of fights. I mean, just a lot. I mean, just there's a lot, man. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of very informative things as well. But you have to kind of seek and find those things. But yeah, man. But it's just a lot, man. Just a lot. So for, you know, children under the age of 14, even under the age of 16, I think it's a good thing that they're, you know, kind of eliminating this. Now, is it going to happen in other states? We'll see if other states follow suit. I guess one of the main things that's the most difficult is that how is he going to enforce this? Because when you go on there, they ask you age and things of that nature. It is a little easy to kind of manipulate those dates. So I don't know how that's supposed to work, but I guess we shall find out. But when you think about it, TikTok, X, Instagram, Reddit, Snapchat. I mean, all those things, man. There's just a lot on all those websites, man. I mean, you can find the good in there. I mean, I like the TikTok now has a STEM section. You know what I mean? As someone that likes science a lot, I'm definitely pretty happy that they got the STEM section. But so I do like that. Look like Bradley Beal was just hurt just now. But Yeah, but rare W for Ron DeSantis, man. Definitely a rare W for him. Because he, you know, he doesn't usually get a lot of wins out here. He's not usually at the forefront for of a lot of wins, but definitely rare W for him, man. We'll clap it up for him.
We'll make it clap.
Yeah, we'll clap it up for DeSantis, man, for making that happen. For sure, for sure. Transitioning out of that. I mean, you think about, like, social media and all that stuff, you know, you get the whole thing with comedy and relationships and, you know, different situations. And then I guess, how do we feel about the whole Bobby Altoff and Marco situation? Did she steal his style? And, like, his interview style? I mean, they both seem to kind of have a bland, like, drab type of comedy type of deal. And a lot of people seem to think that. They seem to be real friends, though. But did she kind of steal his style? I'm going to say, yeah. Did she put him on? I'm going to say, yeah. But she did repay him. You know, they had a sit down the other day, well, I guess last week or something. And she did gift him, I think, 20 or 50,000, something like that. I forget how much it was, but it was a decent amount of money. She did drop the bag on him. And I think I appreciate her for doing that, because I think she probably feels that she wouldn't be in that position if it wasn't for Marco. And I think we all like Marco. You know, him shooting the shot at Lala was definitely that's a big shot. That's a big shot. You know what I mean? I'm glad he shot his shot at Lala, man. It makes me feel good. Like, it makes me feel like I can go out there and shoot my shot. I could be Steph Curry out here. Cause you shooting that shot at Lala is serious. But yeah, it seems that they're friends though, man. So it's kind of cool to see a relationship like that kind of develop, a business partnership. You know what I mean? Her kind of reciprocating. Which she has probably made 10 times over. Other than the whole thing with her and Drake, I'm not sure what's going on with that. But whatever's going on is really petty, because Drake had her kicked out of one of his parties and he wasn't even there. Which is very powerful. You know what I mean? He had the interview taken down. But, like, think about how powerful you got to be to have someone kicked out of your party and you're not even at the party. Like, that's raw. Like, that's raw. But then I seen a video of Marco and Bobby at a Lakers game. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't really know what's going on. So I don't know if they're dating. I don't know what's going on. But I like the business relationship and I like the reciprocation that she kind of showed him. You know what I mean? So I'm definitely here for that all the way. But as far as Marco, though, man, shooting that shot at Lala is serious. It is really serious, man. But I guess you can kind of, you know, I don't know if he was, like, too funny with her in regards to, like, how he was, you know, talking to Lala. I don't know if she could really take him serious and this, that, and the third. I really don't know. And so when you think about that, it's like, as far as, like, women, how do you decide who to give your time to, who to sleep with? And I guess the question, you know, I guess this kind of relates to Marco. Has someone ever talked themselves out of being with you? You know what I mean? Like, talked themselves out of the cookie, talked themselves out of a date. Because I feel like that happens a lot. I feel like as men, we do it all the time because we open our mouths just too much. And I'm 100% guilty of that for a fact. Because there's like a saying out there that most women know whether or not they're going to sleep with you the minute that you meet them. And then the saying goes is that a man can only stop that with his actions or his words. So, you know, with Marco being funny and, I mean, shooting a shot and then kind of not, you know, Lala wanting him to have confidence and him being kind of funny about it, you know what I mean? He might have potentially talked himself out of the date. Like, I don't think it's difficult to talk yourself out of a date or talk yourself out of the cookie. I think that's really easy. And when you think about it, women kind of really hold the key to that, for real. For well, no, I guess men, it could happen to men too. Because I've definitely had some women, you know, their actions have turned me off as well and made me no longer want to pursue them. So it does kind of go both ways. But you got to do, I mean, you have to do an awful lot. As a woman, for a man to be turned off from you, you got to do an awful lot. I don't know what those things can be, but you got to do an awful lot, man. I mean, when I'm trying to sit here and think about the times that a woman made me no longer want to pursue her, for real. Like that, like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to really disgust me to a different level for me to completely not want to pursue you any longer. Like, you got to do a lot. Like, for a woman to, for a man to no longer want to pursue a woman based on, like, actions. Yeah, man, you got to do a lot, man. You got to do a lot. But I'd say all that to say is that for men, we got to know when to, we got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. Got to know when to, you know what I mean, not talk and know when to, and know when to be assertive when talking. You know what I mean? So, because I think you can get mixed messages. And that's the part of the difficulty of being a man. Because if you go too hard and you talk too much and over pursue too much, then, you know what I mean, you can either be labeled thirsty or a harasser. But then if you back off and you kind of chill, then it seems like you're not interested. You know what I mean? So that fine line of not being too thirsty but still being interested is hard. It's very hard to find that fine line. So when you think about, is it liking pictures? Is it swiping up and just DMing? All things that, you know, I don't really generally do, but I know that a lot of people do those things. But that's kind of like where it's at right now. You know, men get put in a very difficult position. You know what I mean? If you do nice things and you know, bad gifts, then you're considered a trick. But then you have women whose main thing is acts of service or gift. I think their love language could be gift giving or acts of service. One of those two things. So as a man, you know what I mean? You can only do but so much, because then you either get taken advantage of and you're labeled thirsty or a trick, or you're labeled someone that doesn't care. So, you know what I mean? And it goes back to those places I say you don't want to be stuck at. One of them is between a rock and a hard place. That's for sure. But one thing for sure, two things for certain. As a man, it is very easy to talk yourself out of what's going on. It's very easy to talk yourself out of the cookie, talk yourself out of the date. But I don't know. I don't really know, man. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, for men, I mean,
mother, what more do you want from me?
What more do you want from us, man? You know what I mean? Like, you gotta give us some sort of hint, you know what I mean? That you even rocking with us. There has to be some sort of something so we know that, you know what I mean? So we know to pursue you in a certain type of way. But yeah, man, it's just crazy, man. It's definitely just crazy. So I definitely was thinking about that when it comes to Marco and Lala, and whether or not he joked himself out of the date by being too funny and she couldn't really take him serious. Because, you know, the interview, he was kind of shooting a shot, but he kind of wasn't. So it just, yeah, man, it just made me think about that. Like, can you talk yourself out of the date? And apparently that's definitely a main thing. That's definitely a thing. So, but yeah, man, I don't know. That was on my mind for some reason, man. That was definitely on my mind. Let's transition to this no-no of the week. This no-no goes to, and this no-no is crazy too, man. This no-no is like really, it's really crazy. Like, I don't understand how something like this even happens, but hey, man, things happen. That's all I'm gonna say. Things definitely happen. But this no-no goes to David Trone, Congressman David Trone, a Democrat out of Maryland, for saying a word that should really never come out your mouth in this day and time. So while Congressman Trone was addressing the media, he mistakenly said the racial slur jigaboo. Yeah, he mistakenly said the word jigaboo. And he claims he meant to say bugaboo. So, I mean, what in the, I don't like black people, what's going on here? The word jigaboo shouldn't even be in the vocabulary of a public representative. So him saying that couldn't have been a mistake. I mean, it might have been. I don't know. He's had to have said this word before and been comfortable saying the word at that. Because of all the boos in the world. Like all the boos that are in the world, that's you know, the boos that come to mind, at least that I could think of, is Usher's My Boo, Peekaboo, I'm Not Scared, Halloween Boo. Like all these other boos that came to mind. And that's the boo that, you know what I mean? That's the boo that you came with. Like, that's the boo that came out your mouth out of all the boos.
No fucking way, boy. Boy, ain't no 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 way, boy.
All the boos that came, all the boos that you could have said, that's the one that came out your mind, out your mouth. Like, I can't make this up, man. We gotta be living in the Matrix, man. What movie was that when he called the person a jigaboo? What was that? White Chicks? Classic movie, by the way. One of the funnier movies, actually. It might be in the top 10 funny movies of all time when I think about it. There was a point in time when I watched White Chicks almost every day. But anyway, even Latrell in White Chicks didn't get a pass for saying jigaboo. But he purposely said it. But that's not a word in everyday vocabulary. So if you're a Representative Trone, what was on your mind when the word jigaboo came out your mouth? Was it watermelon? Was it cotton? It had to be something black. Because that and bugaboo don't even sound the same. He has to be trolling us. He got to be trolling us. There's no way he meant to say bugaboo. He got to be trolling us. Now, listen, I understand as a state representative, mistakes happen, even of that nature. So I'll give him a pass, but that does not absolve you of this no-no. And for that, we're going to cue up Little Duval and 2 Chainz, because David Trone, this is something that we just can't go for. Definitely just, I mean, we just can't go for that, man. Definitely can't. Not at all, man. Just crazy behavior. Just crazy behavior by Representative Trone. Just out of control, man. Transitioning to that, what else do we got going on now here? Okay, so the NFL has adopted another new rule for this upcoming season, and it's clear as day that player safety is at the forefront of the league right now. They are now going to implement the XFL kickoff lineup, which will decrease the amount of valid collisions during a kickoff in which players were running full speed on kickoffs. Like, they're running as fast as they can. And the new setup, I mean, it does appear to be a lot harder to score. But players will not be running full speed. They won't be having essentially what are car crashes on every kickoff. So I'm kind of here for that. I mean, but if you do run a kickoff back in this style, that means that you definitely, you know what I mean? That means you definitely got loose. That's for sure. Because they're going to have players like basically right next to each other as soon as you receive the ball. But I think when I first seen this in the XFL, I did like it. I did like it, and it does does reduce injuries. I remember one of my, dang, this is crazy. I remember one of my peoples, man. He played for the Tennessee Titans, and I remember going to the game, Steelers game, Titans, Steelers, Titans. It was here in Pittsburgh, and he ran a kickoff back. He got hit by probably all 11 dudes on the field at one time. And for sure, he definitely was injured. I mean, he never came back into the game. But he definitely got hit by all 11 dudes at one time on the kickoff. Disappeared. Like, he disappeared, like, literally. So the kickoff is one of the more physical aspects of football. And, man, them, eliminating some sort of way to, reduce injuries and reduce the collisions, I'm here for it. I'm definitely here for it. I still see the backlash about the tackles but I don't know what's going to happen with that. So we'll kind of see. Shout out to my Steelers, though, for signing Cordarrelle Patterson. Receiver running back. I did like that signing. We're still one receiver away from being where we need to be at. We still don't have a clear-cut number two or even a clear-cut number one because I don't think Pickens is that person just yet. So I'm still kind of waiting to see what we're going to do in free agency wide receiver-wise because I hope we don't think we're going to get that person in the draft. Odell Beckham is still out there. Omar Khan, Odell Beckham is still out there, and he can be had for cheap. I don't know why we won't pull the trigger on that. I really don't know why, but I'm a little confused as to why we're not pulling the trigger on that. But, and then there's been some talk about, is there going to be a quarterback controversy in Pittsburgh? Because Justin Fields is he's a good quarterback. He's not a slouch by no means. But Mike Tomlin did kind of quell that by coming out there and saying that the starting job is Russell Wilson's to start the season, as it should be. I don't think there's any doubt about it being Russell Wilson's job. It should be Russell Wilson's job. Justin Fields can still be the quarterback of the future. We got Russell Wilson on a one-year deal. So I'm not mad at it at all. Russell Wilson also has a Super Bowl. There's another reason why he should be the starter. Now, if he plays terrible, all bets are off. You bring in Justin Fields and you go from there. And I mean, so that's an easy fix. Very easy fix. We still got a lot of stuff going on with the draft. I mean, we got the mocks going on. We got the talk about the quarterbacks going in the first four quarterbacks in the first five picks. I definitely don't see that happening because I know Marvin Harrison Jr. is definitely getting drafted in the first five picks because whoever doesn't draft him in the first five picks, they are missing out on a generational talent. Now, he did not do a pro day, nor did he do the combine, but I don't think he has to. His game tape says it all. He should be fine. I'm waiting for the draft. I just want to see what we're going to get. I just want to see who goes first. All this Drake May talk, I'm not really here for it. I think it's Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. I think it's Michael Penix. And then you kind of go with Drake May. But that's just my opinion. And then we had the sighting of Caleb Williams at the USC women's basketball game. Shout out Juju Hawkins. Juju Watkins, and he was kind of vibing out, and he had a pink case, pink phone case, pink keys, and everybody thinks he had pink lipstick on or some sort of lip gloss on. If that's how he wants to be, let him do him. It's not affecting him on the field. Who he is off the field has nothing to do with what it does a little bit, has a little bit to do with who he is on the field, leadership wise, but There are no reports of him being a bad character guy. If he likes the color pink, let him like the color pink. If he wants to wear lip gloss, let him wear lip gloss. He lives in Southern California. That's a different type of lifestyle. Way different type of lifestyle. Those people are very free out there. So All the backlash he was getting about that, I didn't like it, and I don't like it at all. Leave that young man alone. We got to keep remembering that these college, these people, these kids that are in college, I mean, they're kids. They're in college. Yes, they're adults, but they're still kids technically. Like, they're over the age of 18, but they are still kids, man. We got to kind of remember that before we just start bashing these people online for, like, living their life. So I just kind of hate that aspect of social media. What else do we got going on? So Phoenix is up 69-56 on Denver right now. Devin Booker and KD are definitely cooking. KD is definitely cooking right now. Still a lot of time left to be played, though. Still a lot of time, man. Still a lot of time. But the other day, we had the Celtics lose a 30-point lead, blew a 30-point lead to the Hawks. And the question for me is, like, how much faith do you have in the Celtics? To me, the Celtics are known playoff chokers. They do it almost every year. I feel like it's because they live by the three and die by the three. Now, they did go to the finals, but they didn't win. Last year, they, you know, lost to the Heat. Do I think they can make it to the finals again this year? Of course. Of course I do. But they could also go home in the first round. You know, they just rely too much on ISO ball. And when teams are playing boxes and elbows, they resort to chucking up threes. I mean, if they make them, they can blow you out. But if they miss, they're easily losing the game. And if first round, they run into Miami, I know the only thing they're going to be thinking is...
I know that ain't who I think it is.
It's Jimmy and them boys. They here. Jimmy and them boys, the bullies, they here. So do I have faith in the Celtics? I have faith in them to be who they are, which is a team that can shoot at a high clip, high rate, efficiently from the three-point line, a very decent defensive team. I'm not going to say they're well coached with Mazzulla, but he's not better than Ime Udoka. But he's not a terrible coach. I don't like what he did when he went on the floor and tried to block Royce O'Neal's shot. I don't like what he did when he did that. That was taking it too much, too far. Because if Royce O'Neal lands on his leg or something and twists his ankle, then what does that look like? Joe Mazzulla, you out there playing, you know, out there messing around, and you'd have injured one of the players. So I don't like when he did that. But, you know, he's not a terrible coach. He's not Ime Udoka, though. Speaking of Ime Udoka, shout out to Ime Udoka and the Houston Rockets, who are on a tear right now. I think they won 9 straight. I think they're a game and a half behind Golden State for that final spot in a play-in. And they're playing some very good ball. Jalen Green. Oh, my goodness. Speaking of Jalen Green. Man, we got to, yo, clap it up for Jalen Green, bro. Oh, my goodness. This man has been balling.
We'll make it clap. We'll make it clap.
Clap it up for Jalen Green. Whatever Drea put in his lunchbox, keep feeding him. Keep feeding him that. Because he's acting different out here. He's acting real different out there. He's part of the reason why the Rockets are, you know, on this 9-game winning streak. Can they catch the Lakers? I don't think so. But, man, they playing some good ball. I mean, it's going to be hard for the Warriors to, you know, hold them off from that last spot. I know Draymond went on the presser and, you know, said he ain't worried about the Rockets. Speaking of Draymond, he got kicked out the game in the first 4 minutes of the game tonight, and Steph Curry had to carry again. They did manage to beat Orlando in Orlando, but Draymond, you gotta stay in the games, man. Or else y'all gonna find yourself out the play-in. You gotta stay in the games. Steph was visibly upset when Draymond got kicked out the game. You could see it all on his face. But he, you know, they managed to get the win, but Draymond, you got to be easy, man. Steph's counting on you to be there these last couple games. I think we only got about 10, 11, maybe 12 games left in the regular season. So 10 games left, give or take, man, something like that. But the Houston in that last spot in the West is definitely up for grabs. So that was a very big win tonight. Very big win tonight by Orlando, for sure, because I think Houston might have lost tonight too. But they definitely not catching the Lakers. And the Lakers, I give it to the Lakers. Last night, I mean, they won tonight in Memphis, but last night they proved again why you can't count them out. They beat a fully healthy Milwaukee Bucks team in what was probably one of the best games of the season so far. You could debate it with, you know, the other game, you know, with Lakers and Clippers when Braun went crazy in the fourth quarter as the other game of the year. But a double overtime, 128-124 victory show against Milwaukee show why you can't count the Lakers out. Now, Braun didn't play, understandable. So, that you know, they ain't going to do that every game without him being there. But with AD, he had 34, 23 boards. Austin Reaves with a 29-point triple-double. D'Lo with 29 and 12 assists. And that's all without LeBron. So what do you think is going to happen when LeBron comes back and he's rested for the playoffs? Like, what do you think is going to happen then? And that's just why you can't count them out. You just can't. They're firmly entrenched in that 9 spot. We'll see. I don't think they can move up any higher than that 9 spot. I don't really see that happening. But they're still going to be in that play-in. But hopefully they get a home playoff game in the play-in. And right now, it's going to be between them, the Mavericks, and Phoenix as of right now. That could change. Mavericks have been playing some good ball. But at the end of the day, you get in a 7-game series with the Lakers, you're going to have some problems. LeBron going to get you 2 games. Single-handedly, he can get you 2 games. AD can get you 1 by itself. And if the others can get you 1 more, that's all you need. That's all you need in a 7-game series. Braun to get you 2, AD to get you 1, and then D'Lo, Reeves, and everybody else to get you the other one. That could very easily happen against any team in the West, including Denver, including Phoenix. Although Phoenix may be in a playing game. But any of those teams, it could happen. Phoenix is losing the lead right now. They're kind of losing a little bit. It's 70... 71-62, Denver kind of coming back towards in the third quarter. It's about 6 minutes left. But the team I would be worried about playing right now is the Mavericks. Because Kyrie Irving is playing lights-out ball right now. The Kyrie Irving is playing some of the best ball of his career. This is looking like Cleveland Kyrie right now. Like, that's what he's looking like right now. So... I think if you're the Lakers, that's not who you want to see in that playing round. Because, I mean, LeBron, you just know what Kyrie's capable of doing. So that's not the person that you want to see at all. So we're going to see how these last 10 games play out. But I think seeding is very, very important right now. Very, very critical. There are some matchups that you probably don't want in the first round. Like, there has to be some matchups you don't want in the first round. Because ultimately, playoffs are going to come down to matchups. You know, and then once you get those matchups, it's about exploiting mismatches. And what you're going to see, man, it's definitely very crazy. Definitely very crazy. Kind of staying on the hoops, we had something like pretty historic happen today. Well, at least it was made news. And Ice Cube, who is the founder and owner of the Big Three, he offered Caitlin Clark $5 million to pay in the Big Three. Now, we all know Caitlin Clark, college superstar, you know, on her way to the WNBA after this season. But she's not going to make $5 million in the WNBA, not for at least 4 or 5 years. Now, she does have a big NIL deal. I think she's making... over $3 million in NIL. So she's doing pretty good. But she ain't doing $5 million in 1 year good. And $5 million in 1 summer good. Cause the Big Three only lasts for a summer. It ain't like it goes a long time. Might be like 3 or 4 months. And I think it does kind of coincide with the WNBA season. But if I'm Caitlin Clark, I'm strongly considering that offer. I'm strongly considering that offer just for 1 year. It's not going to hurt you. You still can go back to the WNBA. You ain't gonna miss a beat. It ain't going to be no wear and tear on your body. It's half-court basketball. All you need to do is shoot threes anyway. You're a big attraction. You'll get a lot of endorsement deals. Your brand will become even bigger because people that are fans of the big three that might not know who you are, might not follow Iowa basketball, will then be your fans there. It's a win-win however you look at it. If you're Caitlin Clark, that's a win however you look at it. So if I'm her, I'm strongly, strongly considering that offer. And shout out to Ice Cube and the Big Three, though, man, for continuing to, you know, break barriers down and you know, do the things that people thought and told him that he couldn't do. So definitely salute to him for sure, man. What else do we got going on out here? There was a crazy story. Now, I don't know. This is coming out the New York Post, and it also... I did also see this story on Inside Edition as well. There are women being punched by strangers in Manhattan, in downtown Manhattan in New York City. They're making videos, I guess, after these altercations, and some of them are lumped up. Some of them got black eyes, and there are just random males that are literally going up to these women and punching them in the face or punching them in the side of the head. And I'm not really sure. I mean, this is on Inside Edition, so it's, you know, I didn't kind of just get this from anywhere. But there's a series of women. And I don't know if they're being punched by the same stranger that's walking around. But, and some of these incidents are happening in daylight. So at least two of the daylight attacks were reported this week. And the one girl just said, you know, a man just walked up to her and just punched me in the face. I think that's Bush League. Like, that's, you know what I mean? That's crazy. Like, and they're making multiple videos of this. And you can kind of see the lump on the girl's head. The other one, you know, you can see the eye. You can see the girl's eye. And I don't know, man. I don't really know where we are as a society when we are punching women for no reason. Like, where are we at as a society where we are punching women, man? I always was taught that women and children were off limits. That was always what I was taught. I don't know where we're going right now where these incidents are happening and women are just getting beat up. Now, the confusing part is that if this is happening in downtown Manhattan, there has to be some sort of camera, some sort of footage. There got to be something that is around. There has to be. You know, the NYPD is currently investigating, you know, these incidents. But I'm just not understanding how this stuff is not on video. You know what I mean? Like, how is this stuff not on video? How is nobody at all seeing this? Nobody? Like, nobody's catching this on camera. Nobody's catching this guy just randomly walking up to women and punching them in the face. Like, nobody's seeing this at all. I don't understand. I just don't see that. So that's the confusing part. Hopefully that they catch whoever's doing this Bush League stuff and put him under the jail, man. Because that could be any one of our, you know, moms, daughters, sisters, grandmas. Any, you know what I mean? Any one of us. But that, like, that's the epitome of not cool. Like, if there's something that's not cool, that's not cool at all. And whoever's out here doing that, they need to be dealt with swift, fast, and accordingly. Again, I was always taught that women and children were always off limits. Always, man. And anything that happened, and Sundays were also off limits as well. Women and children and Sundays are all off limits. That was what I was always taught. So I don't know if that has changed. I don't know what's going on with this new generation. But y'all got to get it together, man. Y'all gotta get it together. There ain't no way in the world we supposed to be worried about our women like that. That just, you know what I mean? That just ain't the way it's supposed to be. So I will keep tabs on this story and keep following it up, but I mean, there are multiple videos. You know what I mean? This story is also in the New York Post. There are multiple videos of women making it known that they were walking randomly in Manhattan and got punched in the face by a guy. So I don't know, man. I hope it gets taken care of and sooner than later. But that's just crazy. Like, even reporting that just sounds crazy. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, that's all we got, man. We kind of closing out right now. It's 73-68 Phoenix up on Denver. 343 left in the third. I'm gonna get ready to tap in and watch the rest of this game. Phoenix, they still holding on to the lead. It seems like one of the teams that Denver has had a problem with has been Phoenix. They seems like they're one of the teams. It seems like they have some problems with Phoenix. And if things stay the way they are, they potentially could match up with Phoenix in the first round. Depending on if Denver stays at that 2 seed. Well, they're number one right now. But if things shake out the way they shake out in the play-in series, they potentially could end up as a... Oh. Okay. I don't know where Denver got Colin Gillespie from Villanova, but that having him in the game is not going to work at all. But yeah, if things shake out the way they shake out in the play-in series and Phoenix ends up at that 8 seed, they might see Denver in that first round. And I know Denver does not want to play them in the first round. I know that for a fact. Like, I know that for a fact. Phoenix is a problem. When they're clicking on all cylinders and you got Brad Beal and they clicking on all cylinders, they're tough to deal with. KD, Booker, Beal, Grayson Allen shooting the best percentage of his life, Eric Gordon, Thaddeus Young. I mean, they're tough to deal with, man. Definitely. So we're going to tap into the rest of this game. We're getting out of here. You got it, episode 107. We gone, man. Deuces.
Your frame, get them worries off your brain, girl. I'm in your corner, do what you want, it's your thing, girl. Opposites attract, but we one and the same, girl. It ain't a game, so I can't play with you. I wanna lay with you, stay with you, pray with you, grow old and great. With
Dang,
you.
I just realized this is probably controversial right now. I'm playing Diddy and R. Kelly. I'm tripping, man. Don't kill me for this right now, man. Don't kill me for this, man. But you got it, episode 107. We out of here, man. Jim.
You love it when you hear it. Sit up on the sofa, get a little closer. Touch you right, do it like a man's supposed to. Knew you was the one, that's why I chose you. Cause you get down for yours and ride like a soldier.
I don't understand you like I do. Don't understand you like I do.
You ain't dealing with a boy. Philistiness inside, I can feel that boy. When you spend time with your woman and listen, it shines more than any baguette diamond can glisten. I can't impress you with the cars and the wealth, cause any woman with willing drive can get it herself. I'd rather show you it's heartfelt, make your heart melt, and prove to you you're more important than anything else. Worthwhile, special like my first child. When I see your face, it's always like
hasta la vista, arrivederci.
I wanna give you things that I didn't buy yet.
Free thug too.
Let me show you. Ain't no telling what we could grow to. Let it be known I told you.